Good morning, and welcome to First Congregational Church here in Westfield. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. That statement is going to play a big part of our sermon today. So please make sure that we hear that again. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. We have some announcements. I'm going to start with Janet, because we have a legal announcement that must be made.
This is my legal hat and my legal look. This is the official notice to members of First Congregational Church. The subject is First Congregational Church Annual Meeting. In accordance with the bylaws of the First Congregational Church, Westfield, Massachusetts, Article 8, Section 2, the annual meeting of the church shall take place during the month of February upon a date designated by the church council.
The ninth.
That's not in here. This year's annual meeting will take place. I lied. This year's annual meeting will take place on Sunday, February 9th, 2025. With a snow date of Sunday, February 16th, the meeting will take place following the worship service. The reports of all officers, committees, and affiliated organizations shall be made in writing and accepted at this meeting. Officers of the church and committee shall be elected at this meeting. The nominating committee shall prepare a ballot nominating one person for each position to be filled at the annual meeting of the church. The right of a member to make nominations from the floor shall always, always be recognized. This ballot shall be accepted by the church at this meeting. At the annual meeting of the church, the members of the church will vote on the budget as a single intact entity. Church Council has recommended changes to the bylaws to be voted at the annual meeting. Copies of these changes are posted outside the church office and are available in writing at the church office. Please pick up a copy. Respectfully yours, Janet St. Jean, Clerk.
Cindy Gaylord.
So this is not my legal look, as I am in partial costume, to tell you about this year's historic ghost tours. They are being held right here in our church on Thursday and Friday of this week. So, and our performances are at 6 and 7:30. I'm particularly excited about these this year because 2025 is the 250th anniversary of the start of the Revolutionary War. So this year, all of our ghosts are going to have something to do with the Revolutionary War. And most of them are from Westfield, and a lot of them were from this church. So you will meet soldiers, you'll meet a lieutenant, a colonel, a general, you'll meet a Tory, who also went to this church, who could have been a better spy as well. You'll meet the women, who also played a role in the war, and without their help, the war could have ended very differently. You'll meet a black slave, who joined the war effort to hopefully gain his freedom. So you'll be hearing all of their stories. A lot of the information is from primary documents. You'll be hearing their very words for many of the our ghosts. And of course, there's always a special effects surprise. If those of you who've been past years know that it's usually something very good to look forward to. I have tickets with me today, or you can get tickets at the Athenaeum or at the door. Again, it's this Thursday, 6 and 7:30, and Friday at 6 and 7:30.
And how much are
these? Oh, the tickets are only $10 each. Yeah, we haven't raised our prices in 14 years. So we hope to see you all there. Excuse me. I think you'll be excited.
Great, thank you. I know I'll be there.
I'll definitely
be there. Steve, are you in this?
Not this year.
Oh, not this year. All right. So, three other quick announcements. Number one, Cindy LaPlante has financial statements. So Cindy from our office has your financial statement from 2024 that you will need for your taxes. So please make sure you see Cindy. This Tuesday, it's our turn at the community table and or soup kitchen. So we make sure that you have signed up. One of our regular volunteers is not fighting fires, but she's helping the victims of fires out in California. So Julie won't be there. Let's keep Julie and those folks in prayer as well. But we do need some help with our soup kitchen this week. Not only will we have our annual meeting on February 9th, but we will also welcome new members. I am not under a time constraint that day for the service, because I'm going to stay for the annual meeting. And we have somebody else taking Southwick that day. So, but we will welcome new members. If you are someone who is not a member, an adult member of First Congregational Church and would like to be, please see me after church today, or you can see Cindy LaPlante, and she'll get you that information. Are there any other announcements this week? Hearing none, let us worship God.
Good morning. Please join me in the call to worship printed in your worship guide. We praise you, God, for the diversity of your body.
By God's Spirit, you are one.
From diverse backgrounds and diverse places.
By God's Spirit, we are one.
From diverse cultures and diverse generations.
By God's Spirit, we are one.
From diverse questions and diverse dreams.
By God's Spirit, we are one.
We celebrate our diversity. We celebrate our unity.
By God's Spirit, we are one. Hallelujah.
Please join me in the opening hymn. 89 in the womb, the Lord of all hopefulness.
Thank you.
edification is found in your worship, God. God of Jubilee, in Jesus Christ, you are always bringing good news to the poor and liberty for the captives. You grant sight for the blind and freedom for the oppressed. You declare the year of holy favor. Help us this day as we, your people, gather to hold this vision of Jubilee. Teach us this day to both receive and embody the fullness of your Spirit's vision. We ask this in the name of the one who taught us to call you, our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Dumb questions. Are there ever dumb questions? No, but these might sound a little bit. How many people have a head? How many people have hands? Almost everybody, I would think everybody here. Feet? How many people's feet work really well? Some of them don't, all right, yeah, but some do. And legs and arms. It's important for us to recognize that we have a body. And that the entire body works together. In the same way, we as people all work together to make up the body of Christ. Whoa. We come together. So just like our hands do certain things, our feet do certain things, our nose has a couple of important jobs, our eyes help us see, and even though some people are able to do things when they're missing something, because they can compensate, something else will take over and allow them to be to happen and for it to work. We do the same thing as the body of Christ. And we use those gifts that we've been talking about in church school for the last couple of weeks to make up that body of Christ. So as you continue on your journey to recognize your gifts, first let's pray and then let's go to church school. Good and gracious God, we give you thanks for our body. We give you thanks for the body of Christ right here at First Congregational Church of Westfield. Be with our young people and their teachers as they continue to recognize the gifts of the Holy Spirit, their gifts, and what these young people do to become part of the body of Christ at First Congregational Church. Amen. Let's go to church school. I love when people are enthusiastic. turn our attention to the Word of God.
A reading from Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need of you," nor again the head to the feet, "I have no need of you." On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor. And our less respectable members are treated with greater respect. Whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work powerful deeds? Do all possess gift of healing? Do all speak in languages? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts. Our God is still speaking.
Thanks be to God.
Please join me in a responsive reading of Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows the handiwork of the Lord. One day tells its tale to another, and one night imparts knowledge to another.
Although they have no words in language, and their voice is not heard, their sound is not out in all lands, and their message is invisible.
In the deep has God set a pavilion for the sun. It comes forth like a bridegroom out of his chamber. It rejoices like a champion to run its course. It goes forth from the uttermost edge of the heavens and runs about to the end of it again. Nothing is hidden from its burning heat.
The law of the Lord is perfect and revives the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure and gives wisdom to the innocent. The statutes of the Lord are just.
The fear of the Lord is clean and endures forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, much more than fine gold, sweeter far than honey in the comb.
By them also is your servant enlightened, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can tell how often they amend? Cleanse me from my secret faults.
Above all, keep your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not get dominion over me. Then I shall be whole and sound, and innocent of a great offense.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O
reading from the Gospel according to Luke. Then Jesus, in the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding region. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed upon him. They began to say to him, then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. When it comes to a big project or an event, are you an organizer or a doer? Which one are you? Organizers, raise your hand. Doers, raise your hand. All right. Combination of the two. All right. Yeah. Combination of the two. Now, would you rather be the leader of a project or one of the followers or assistants? How many would rather be the leader? How many of you enjoy being the leader? Raise your hand. I know, I enjoy that. How many enjoy, I miss back here. How many enjoy being one of the followers or assistants or a doer? All right. Okay. Maybe you have changed over the years and you have moved from a doer to organizer leader, or have become someone who does a bit to assist with a project. A few people here who have reached a certain age may have abdicated their roles to watch and encourage from the sidelines. And that's okay too. Amy's like, yep. Our roles do change. And even Jesus found himself in a new position as his ministry began. Now, depending on the audience and theme, the Gospels tell us the scenario or event that signifies the start of Jesus' ministry. In today's reading from Luke, we see Jesus taking on what appears to be a new role as a teacher within the synagogue. Now, scripture scholars will tell us that this event also happened in Mark, but in a shorter version, because Mark's gospel is the shortest and whose gospel is the longest for $250. Thank you. Luke's gospel is the longest. Remember, Luke's gospel is the longest. All right. So, but in John's gospel last week, Jesus changes water into wine at the wedding feast in Cana. Now, this passage only appears in John's gospel, which was written about 30 to 40 years after Luke's. And John's gospel didn't feel compelled to share the story of Jesus in the synagogue. But nonetheless, we have origins of Jesus' ministry. As is the case when we hear from a local person who takes on the role of teacher, leader, or organizer, we may stare at them in bewilderment. Hey, isn't that the kid who used to run out the door when it was time for church school? Isn't she the one who cried during the pageant because her star fell? I'm pretty sure that's how the first hearers in that synagogue felt. First of all, here's the carpenter's son sitting in the teacher's chair. By the way, that act alone was of great significance. Unlike most preachers today who stand at the pulpit or stand out in the aisles, the person called upon to teach sat in that chair of authority. And here, Jesus gave his message, much to the astonishment of those in authority at that local synagogue. The reader at the local synagogue may have been invited by the synagogue elder or leader to provide a commentary. Jesus begins with a zinger, and something much more than a zinger, a sentence that remains fresh and provocative down to our own time. Jesus sets free the scripture passage that he just read. He lets the lion out of the cage. He overthrows the ho-hum expectations of the people around him. Here's what he said. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Throughout his ministry, Jesus was not afraid to tell the synagogue and temple, and it's big T in temple for the temple in Jerusalem, for those leaders about what it should mean to follow their faith. It happens even today. Not everyone is particularly happy with a sermon that gives or with what a person says on a particular occasion. Right? People have different feelings and opinions. We've seen that recently. But as people who profess to be followers of Jesus, the Christ crucified and risen from the dead, there are some hard things that we too have to follow.
Yes.
If we get stuck as we wonder how to be a follower of Jesus or how to lead other followers, Paul writes in his letter to the Corinthians to remind us, number one, some people have gifts that were given by the Holy Spirit. Number two, recognize and use your gifts. Pretty simple stuff, right? Recognize your gifts, use them. And here's the third, know that your gifts cannot be used without the participation of others. Because if you're there and you're using your gift and no one's responding and no one's doing anything, what could be? Again, it's that whole thing of the body of Christ, right? We're looking at that. It's because the metaphorical language used by Paul reminds all of us, regardless of our roles, be it as leaders, organizers, followers, sideliners, or supporters, we make up this body of Christ. For me, this is why we worship with others. And it's pretty wild that in 2025, we can apply a message that we believe was written 2,000 years ago. Scholars tell us that the first letter to the church in Corinth was written around 53-54 AD. Paul wrote this in response to questions that had been asked as a means to deal with dissension and arguments among the followers of the way with the Corinthians. Here are some questions for us, depending on where you live and where you worship. And do we have dissension among followers of the way? Because we're still following that. In 2025 in the United States, in Massachusetts, in Westfield, at First Congregational Church, many of us don't know the answers because we haven't had conversations yet to figure it out. What we do have, we have members who make up the body of Christ, both here and in Southwick. Our members come from different backgrounds, political affiliations, different philosophical beliefs, but together, we still make up the body of Christ. We don't know in what ways we're going to be called upon to act as the body of Christ. There are a few things that we have to remember. First of all, we open worship at both churches by saying, no matter who you are, or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. That has to go for everyone. Whether or not you agree with what they say, I may not agree with what you say, but by golly, you're welcome here, and you're part of the body of Christ that makes up this church. We have to be together. As your pastor, I vowed. I remember specifically, and I asked Martha Roman this morning, did I say this in the interview? Yes, that I would preach the gospel only. Yeah. I would only preach the gospel. I'm not getting into politics. It's not my business here. But I will only and always preach the gospel based on what readings come before us, because we've been following the lectionary since I got here. This stuff wasn't chosen. I planned this service probably during December, because Alan and a few others get the service weeks in advance so that they can plan music, people can look at readings, all these other things can happen. This just happened today. Talk about the Holy Spirit at work. But let me repeat. I have vowed that I will only and always preach the gospel based on what readings come before us or what I prayerfully believe that our community needs to hear, based on the teachings of Jesus Christ. So we pray that the Spirit of the Lord will be upon each one of us as we continue to practice our faith, to build up and be the body of Christ in Westfield, Southwick, and to those around us. We pray that whatever gifts the Holy Spirit has given to each of us will be used for the sole purpose of building up the body of Christ, so that the kingdom or reign of God on earth will happen. In words that are sometimes attributed to Francis of Assisi, preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. Please know them as your spiritual pastor, teacher, shepherd, guide. I am here for all members of both churches, as well as the communities, as needed and necessary, as we work together to build up the body of Christ. Amen. As we come to prayer this morning, we are ever mindful of those prayer requests that are listed in our worship guide, as well as those prayers and requests and petitions that remain in the silence of our hearts, known only to us and to God. And may God be with you. Please, pray with me. Lord of patience and persistence, the scriptures from Isaiah's scroll were not new to the people gathered on that day for worship. Many times before, they had heard the words and in their hearts hoped that the mandate would become a reality in their lives, but none moved forward. Then Jesus proclaimed that God had called him to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. How startled they were. At last, with confidence, Jesus forced the issues in a mandate. And God had fulfilled God's promise in the person of Jesus. Now something was going to be done. Now the time had come. It is no different today than it was 2,000 years ago. We still want someone else to pick up the reins, to lead the charge, and to do the work. But God, through the witness of Jesus, is calling each of us, to the task. The promise of hope and justice is given to this world, and we have become bearers of that promise. So now is the time for us to work and to witness. Now is the time for hope and peace. Now is the time for each one of us to do our part in establishing God's kingdom or reign. Lord, get us ready for service. Pick us up, dust us off, and put us on the right pathways. In Jesus' name, we offer this prayer. Amen. My friends, there is only one Lord and God from whom all things come and for whom we live. Let us offer our lives to God as our morning offering is received.
With my thanksgiving, be thy mercy.
God, for the majesty of your work, the wisdom of your word, and the generosity of your grace. Let the gifts of our lives bear witness to your goodness and mercy, your faithfulness and justice, and your steadfast love for all. Amen. Amen.